Welcome to Unsquish the Fish, the podcast where bloggers, writers, and Fins fans come to talk everything Miami Dolphins and bask in the glow of aqua and orange. And now, for the host of Unsquish the Fish, Ron Caniff. Fins up. Fins up. Fins up.
What's going on, Dolphins fans? How is everybody doing today? I'm doing a little something different right here. I'm doing this series with Matthew Knowles from Fin Maniacs, where we are going to go through unit by unit. So each of these shows are going to be a little shorter than the normal shows, but these are going to be like little bonus extra shows. So leading up to the draft, we're going to go unit by unit, starting with linebacker today, of just giving you some basic breakdowns of pretty much anybody draftable, maybe even some guys that may get past the draft and go into undrafted free agent status, linebackers, cornerbacks, all that. We're going to go each show. We're going to focus on one unit. I decided after speaking with Matt that we think that linebacker is probably the number one. What do you think, Matthew? You think that would be the number one need likely of the Dolphins?
Well, unfortunately with the Dolphins, there's a lot of needs, but yeah, that should be our number one need.
Now, I hear people online that they don't get that. They're not understanding that. I've heard people say, and not to get into a lot of Dolphins talk on this show, but just quickly, I've heard people say, we need guard, we need guard. I think if you're thinking we need guard as our number one need, you are in this mindset of 2015 that put a couple guards on this team and this offense will be unstoppable and we're going to do things. I promise you, in my opinion, number one, that's not likely. But the big thing is, as when you're in a situation like the Dolphins are, where you need so many pieces of defense, and you're likely to spend a lot of picks probably this year and even next year on defense, that reminds me so much of when we first got Jimmy Johnson as our head coach, and he did that. And look what he built. And yes, he picked the right players. And do we have the people that'll pick the right players? I don't know. But when you have a situation where you're going to go over the next couple of years and spend so many picks just on the defensive side, if you could hit on three or four good to special guys in there, mix them with Sue, keep Rashad Jones, imagine what this defense could look like in, say, three, let's say 4 years. Imagine what it could look like. This is the Dolphins have a chance in my mind to do something special because they have so many holes on defense. They will have to spend so many draft picks. So we're going to see. But today we are starting with linebackers. Matthew Knowles from Fin Maniacs. Take it away, man. What you got for us in the first round? Who could you see as possibly drafting there?
Well, the big three names I see are Miles Jack, Jalen Smith, and Reggie Ragland. And I like Miles Jack or Jalen Smith at 8. Both are interchangeable to me. For Miles Jack, you have these, and Jalen Smith, you have these uber athletes. They just fly around the field making plays. But Miles Jack, he's full of energy. He's like madman. And there's this one play against USC last year or 2 years ago, and they had Nelson Aguilar, a first-round pick for the Eagles, and Miles Jack ran down the field with him, step for step, and it's incredible his athleticism, and he also has instincts. He's not just an athlete, so I think he's really good. He'll be a really good NFL player. Now the cons, and this is why what people sometimes say is he a middle linebacker? Is he even a strong linebacker? Because we have a weak side linebacker in Jenkins. That's really our only
good linebacker.
Honestly. Budding professional good linebacker on our team. I mean, Misi is fine. I think if we keep Misi, it's not going to kill us. But he's no. He is who he is, you know? And another thing with Miles Jack is his injury. He just came off of an ACL injury, and you don't know what he's going to be. It's scary when you're picking a guy with that.
So you're saying Miles Jack and Jalen Smith are both coming off injuries?
Both of them are coming off injuries. I mean, Jalen Smith, he did it in the bowl game, so that's, you know, fresh, really fresh. Now Jalen Smith, he's another just phenomenal athlete. He flies. He has some experience at middle linebacker. I believe he switched this year, and he did a full season. I think he might have switched last year too, but this year for sure.
If you don't mind, Matthew, if you could give us the schools. I know Jalen Smith is, because I am not as familiar. It's part of why I wanted to do this series. I'm not really a draft guy. So Jalen Smith is Notre Dame, correct? But I don't even know where Miles Jack is.
UCLA.
UCLA, yeah, okay. That. No, that's fine.
And, Jalen Smith has a little bit more experience than Miles Jack at middle linebacker. He has phenomenal instincts, and his awareness is through the roof. Now, when I watched his film, though, I kept seeing this. He's a bit of a finesse player, you know, like I want to say he's soft, or I wouldn't even call him a finesse player, but maybe the question mark of, is this guy a bit finesse? Like, for instance, you want to see your linebacker always trying to make a tackle and trying to get a hit on the ball carrier. I see a lot of Jalen Smith running to the ball carrier and then pulling up. I mean, maybe that's, you know, avoiding penalty and a career move where they just want to save themselves for the NFL. But that kept popping up for me.
That makes me nervous. I got to be honest with you, because I don't think with the issues the Dolphins have had of being a finesse quote unquote team, of not being tough, of not winning the tough games,
right,
not being able to beat the Baltimores, even though I know we beat them last year, but they sucked.
I don't want
a player like that. And we almost heard a little bit of that from, like when you say the taking plays off, we heard about that from, of course, Jordan Phillips, thank you, from Jordan, you know, hearing that about Jordan Phillips as well, and I don't know if that really bared out true in the NFL, but that makes me nervous. You're definitely selling me more on Miles Jack, but I'm really hearing that and seeing all the projections that Miles Jack is not likely, unless maybe both quarterbacks, Wentz and Goff, are both taken ahead of us, that Miles Jack is going to fall to us. You think there's a shot at that?
With Miles Jack falling to us? I mean, yes. With injured players, anything could happen. I mean, I'm not gonna say it can't happen, but yeah, I've been seeing a lot of him going to four with the Cowboys. But that's, you know, the Twitter experts boards and the NFL team boards are completely different. And you see some people getting selected in the first round who you're like, I don't know. He's the third, you know, he's a third round grade for some people. So you never know. But
did you say Miles Jack is a third round grade for some people?
What I'm saying is you will see some people on the board who get selected way too earlier, and then some people who just drop. I'm not saying this is Miles Jack. You know, he most likely will be a top five player. Definitely did not saying that, but what I'm saying is the NFL team boards are totally different than draft Twitter boards, and you never tell who's going where.
Now, one guy I see on your list here that I have in front of me, the only other linebacker I really see you have us around that spot at eight is Reggie Ragland. Now, as a guy who definitely follows Bama, I'm more familiar with him. A lot of times with the Bama players, though, they come into the NFL and they don't really have that big jump from college to the NFL and improvement, because Saban just coaches them up so well. But he just seems to me like he's a very true middle linebacker. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe he's not the most exciting guy that you could draft, but you could make him your middle linebacker and feel solid at that position for a couple contracts for 8 or 9 seasons. That's really where I'd like to see us go, because I just want to feel – I mean, Miles Jack sounds – I mean, that's awesome, and I'd love to have him, but I'm not thinking he drops to us. I want to feel comfortable at that position for the first time in since – I don't remember when the last time I felt really comfortable at the middle linebacker position. We had a guy we were going to be able to keep for a while, a young guy. We've either brought in free agents or just had, you know, just nothing pretty much.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Reggie Ragland? Do you see what I see? Do you like him? Not like
him? Yeah, I mean, his film is true. He's a tackling machine. He's a thumper. He's a he deals with blocks very well. He's able to either shed or void or take on blocks very well. On Twitter, I made a joke. He's Eddie Lacy, but on defense with his weight. You know, his weight does scare me a bit. He's going on 260, and during the Senior Bowl practices, he was getting during like receiving drills and stuff. And I know that the drills for the Senior Bowl are offensive. You know, they help the offense, but he was getting really abused in those receiving drills. So we played Tom Brady twice a year, and you know how he likes to use those running backs in the passing game. It might get ugly if he cannot cover.
Okay, I understand. Backs. So you're concerned about his coverage skills, but you say he's definitely a run stuffer, definitely a sure tackler.
Oh, he's a sure tackler. He will bring the thunder. He brings the boomstick, you know, and he does everything that you really like to see in a middle linebacker. Maybe he doesn't even have to cover those middle linebackers. But, you know, what really, and I'm not saying he would get abused like Kelvin Shepard, but what really brought like flashbacks to my mind was when, you know, Danny Woodhead, who's this good player, but he abused us this year. And he abused us in our linebacking core against our linebackers, where they just couldn't cover him. Like I said, he's no, you know, Reggie Ragland is not as bad as Kelvin Shepard, but.
No, very few people are.
Yes, but.
Linebackers, you know, I should say.
But I, he's one of those guys I'm really looking for. And usually I don't care about the weight, height, all that stuff, but he's a guy I'm really looking at the combine for his weight and his athletic numbers.
Well, I tell you what, this is the only one of these series that we're going to record before the combine. Right. So we'll watch for that. And before we do our next unit, which I'm guessing probably the next unit will be cornerback, we'll take a peek at that and kind of just see, you know, where was he, what did his speed look like, just, you know, all that kind of things. We'll be able to bring those combine numbers to the next one, but wanting to get started, obviously, with linebacker, we're a day or two ahead of when these guys will report. Okay, so let's come out of the first round. We see there what we'd like to see in the first round. Now we got get into the second round. Give me some guys you like, why you like them, and let us know, are they more middle linebacker, are they more outside linebacker? Because, man, we can't be picky because we need both anyway.
Right, and before I even say outside linebacker, like I said, we have one outside linebacker. We have to make sure that the outside linebacker we would draft would be the strong side, which is a bigger, more they seal the edge more. So the next guy I have is Darren Lee. He's from Ohio State. He's another one of these athletes. He's great when he's playing within his assignment. Okay, so you give him a task and he's really good at doing it. And he can blitz. He really is a playmaker. But my questions are, he's a little bit light. I think he runs around 225 or 230. So is he a middle linebacker? Can he be a strong side linebacker? He also sometimes he looks lost in space. He looks lost when he doesn't have his assignment. And so that makes me question how are his instincts? How is his awareness? You know, sometimes he just looks like he doesn't know what to do. So that is Darren Lee. The next guy I have, who I think is one of my favorite linebackers, is Kentrell Brothers. I watched him right after I watched Miles Jack the first time, and I just came off of Miles Jack, who this guy is just running all over the field and just making Superman plays. And I watched Kentrell Brothers, and I put him in, and I'm like, all right, he's okay. And then I sort of brushed him off. And then I kept hearing his name on Twitter and all this stuff. So I revisited Kentrell Brothers, and this guy can play. He has the instincts. He knows the game of football. He's a tackling machine. I believe he led his school. He was top in the nation, and he's at least, I know he was like top 10 in the nation at least.
What school does he go to again?
He goes to Missouri.
Okay. And is he more of a middle linebacker or outside
linebacker?
Yeah,
he's a pure middle linebacker. I think he's a pure middle linebacker.
Oh, okay. And would you say his strength is more coverage or more just run stopping, tackling, kind of a little bit more like Reggie Ragland?
Well, he's a middle linebacker where he's good at running. He's good at the run, against the run. He's pretty good against the pass. He deals with blocks exceptionally. I don't think I saw him get blocked, you know, and that's a bit of a hyperbole, but he deals with blocks exceptionally. He's good at evading. He's good at with
shedding them.
I'm sorry?
Good at shedding the blocks, like when does make
good
contact?
At evading, okay. Really good. He has really good instincts. And he's enough of an athlete. He's not this crazy, you know, Miles Jack running 4.4, but he's enough of an athlete. The knocks on him, and the reason why he's not a first rounder is he's a bit of a smaller. He's on the smaller side. He's 6 foot maybe, but he does have the size. He's 240 something, and he doesn't give you the KO like Reggie Ragland will. He's not the boomstick.
Okay, but how's his tackling though? I mean, is he a sure tackler?
He's an exceptional tackler. He
awesome.
Rarely misses. He's another guy that I think you, Dolphin fans should watch and really get to know him because he has a good film. He's always making plays and he's always around the ball carrier. So,
all right. Yeah. So I'd say in that group. Oh, we still got one more guy in this group. So go for it. You got
one more guy, and he's my next. He's my favorite player to watch. I wouldn't say he's the best linebacker, but he's the best player to watch from the linebacking, and that's Scooby Wright, the third, and he's from Arizona.
Okay.
If it's Madden, his instincts are at 99.
Okay. I like it.
I'm sorry.
I said I like it.
And his awareness is at 99. I mean, this guy just knows football. He's a heady player. He knows exactly. He's seen it before, so he's going to attack once he sees his keys and he goes. He's a tackler. He makes sure tackles. He's amazing blitzer. Just has that timing where he knows exactly when it's going to open and he hits that hole. And he deals with blocks exceptional. He's just not an athlete. He's not one of these guys who's, again, like a Miles Jack.
And we're just going to compare every athlete to Miles Jack, huh?
I mean, that's the pinnacle.
Okay, so in this draft, you'd say even over Bosa, maybe, or?
Well, I mean, Bosa's the number one, yeah. He's my number one, but...
But he's not falling to Miami unless something really weird happens.
Yeah, I mean, dreams, you can dream, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. All right, so I definitely like in Kentrell Brothers and Scooby Wright. I mean, I'm pretty much sold on that. I've been hearing Scooby Wright also has listening to some shows, this and that. His leadership ability is big. Like, he's kind of like a natural born leader. Have you heard anything about that or read anything about that?
I haven't really heard too much on him, but I've heard all good things. He has he's one of these guys that has a chip on his shoulder. He was highly sought after, and he, you know, you always love those guys. Like J.J. Watt was that type of guy who, you know, he wasn't sought after in coming out of high school, and he has been told he's not good enough his entire career, and just works his butt off every single day of his career. You know,
and I think so far what we're hearing too, and it kind of already makes me feel better because I wasn't really thinking this because I didn't know some of these guys. So I was starting to hear a little bit about Scooby Wright is. If the Dolphins decide to go a different way with the first pick, if they say they go cornerback or they even decide, you know, they lose OV and we're going to go defensive end, seems like there's a couple decent linebacker choices to choose from when we get into the second round. And I like that. But I tell you what, if we don't take a linebacker the first round, and, you know, we better, for me, I want to see us take one in the second round. How do you feel about it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really like the second round guys a lot, but the problem is you can't bet on that. You can't you know, you can't say, oh, well, I'll wait, and then Scooby Wright and then Kentrell Brothers gets taken in the first two rounds.
Yeah,
in the first two picks before you, you know.
Now, I'm hearing that Scooby Wright, that actually, I mean, we're picking in the second round, which is eighth pick of the second round, that would actually be early for him, and we would pretty much land him there if we wanted to, that the likelihood someone else takes him before that pick isn't high.
These are my rankings, too. These are not, you know, this is what I see. So, he, you know, I've seen him third round grade. I've seen him, you know, maybe even a fourth round grade, but I would be comfortable with taking him in the second round.
Awesome. If they want him, then that's what they should do, because they need to do something to fix this linebacking core. It's dreadful. All right, man, take us into the next group. These are the third to fourth round guys.
All right, so the next group is – let me see my notes.
We got Josh Perry.
Josh Perry. He also goes to Ohio State. He is supposed to run a 4.6. In the combine, which I don't really put numbers too close to linebackers as much, but he's like 6'4", 250, runs, supposedly going to run a 4.6, and if he does run a 4.6, we're not having him in the third round. But you have to look at his size and his apparent speed that he's going to have, and you have to respect that. But when I saw him, I wasn't really like, oh my God, this guy is a must have in the first two rounds. He's a good player. He's consistent, but for his size and his athleticism, you should see him be making a lot more plays.
Okay.
So he is, if you get him at third or fourth round, hey, I'm all for it, but he's not one of these guys I'm really, really banging the table for in the first two rounds.
Okay. What about, I'm seeing that guy, Deion Jones.
Deion Jones. He is a 5'10", 220-pound.
Wow. He's small.
Lightning bug.
He's small. What school is he from?
LSU. He flies around the field. But the problem with those guys is they, as soon as an offensive lineman gets their hands on them, they're going 50 yards away from the play. So it could get ugly, or it could be really pretty. He makes some phenomenal plays. He plays with great instincts, and he's always around the ball when he's not blocked out of the picture.
He almost sounds like a more of a strong safety type.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
then he sounds like a linebacker.
Yeah, he does. He's very quick and small, and but he does make plays, and he is very instinctual and very aware, and I like his film, but the size does scare me because...
Yeah, that's a small linebacker in the NFL. I mean, that's almost too small. I mean, how big was Mike Hull, for instance? I think he's even bigger than that, and he's kind of small.
Yeah, he is. I think he's like 230-something.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if he was a little bit bigger, I would put him up there in the second to first round. I really like his film, and he's probably a weak side, but you watch him and he really lit up the Senior Bowl, which is a good indicator of your skills because you're playing with the best of the best in college. So he lit up the Senior Bowl. His film doesn't lie. He makes plays, but like I said, the size is scary. And I don't think we have the scheme for that size, but you know, if we were to get him, I'd be okay with it. He's more of a fourth rounder, but for me, in this scheme.
Okay, and then what about Tyler
Manikiewicz?
Manikiewicz. Okay.
Manikiewicz.
Where's he from?
He's from Temple.
Okay,
he's
small
another
school
guy. You watch the Senior Bowl, and he's just tackled by Tyler Manikiewicz. Tackled by Tyler. Every play, he was in on a play or running down the guy. He's not a super athlete, but he knows the position of middle linebacker, and he has the instincts, he has the awareness. He's a lot like Scooby Wright in that aspect, but it's a little bit smaller than Scooby, and he's not an athlete. He probably will play he'll probably play a lot more weak side because of his size, and we don't, again, we don't really need him, so that's why I put him down there.
Okay, and what about Dominic Alexander?
Another really small guy, super fast, super instinctual, always around the ball. Pretty much the third or fourth round guys for me have something to do with the reason why they're there is for their size, one way or another. Either they're really, really skilled but small, like Deion Jones, Tyler Matakevich, and Dominic Alexander, or they're like Josh Perry, who's just size and speed, but their instincts might be a little bit low.
So they're physically good, but they're not necessarily
gifted.
Yeah, they're not necessarily bearing that out in their play.
Right. Yeah, at least that's what I see.
Okay. All right. All right, let's move down to this last group of guys here. We got the guys that are maybe be fifth rounders or even undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
I got Antonio Morrison. Where is he?
He's from Florida. Did I tell you where Dominic Alexander is from?
You know what? I think you did, but I don't remember where was
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Okay, no, I don't think you did. Okay, so Oklahoma. So right. Antonio Morrison is from Florida.
Florida. You know, if you ever watch a Florida game, the defense is always the fast, very fast. He's another fast, small guy. I didn't put him in the third or fourth because I didn't see him making the plays that Deion Jones or Tyler Matakevich or Dominic Alexander was making. And he's also coming off of a pretty bad injury. He was a comeback player of the year for them, but that was like a year ago he came off an ACL. So I also saw a lot of his teammates making a ton of plays too. So when I see that, I'm sort of like, okay, well, he should be making these plays too. But he does have really good athletes. He is a pretty good athlete. And but just a little bit small.
Okay, and Blake Martinez.
He is from Stanford. I'm kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but he looks instinctual. He has, he's always in the right place. He's not the best athlete, just makes sure tackles in the right place, nothing flashy. He's not going to run anybody down, but he's a decent player.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys we're talking here in this last group are pretty much guys that are either going to be depth, developmental, really both, right. Honestly. Both, maybe even practice squad guys, possibly. So, I mean, we know they're not all world beaters here. They wouldn't be fifth, sixth, seventh round guys. How about Chris Frost?
Chris Frost and his teammate Casanova McKenzie, they're from Auburn. Mm-hmm. And Chris Frost is a middle linebacker, and I think he had like a ton of injuries in college. And he just made a lot of really good instinctual plays, and he has the mind, and he's a pretty good athlete. I think he dropped a lot in people's eyes because of his injuries, and the defensive coaches in Auburn, they were kind of transitioning, so they really put people in the wrong places. I felt because his teammate Casanova McKenzie. He's another guy. He's one of those really big guys. Really, he's a big 6'3", 250 athlete.
Mm-hmm. Who's
really, really good. But they put him at a defensive end. But his first 2 years, he was a middle linebacker. He was making really good instinctual plays. And I thought he had enough awareness, and he had really good size, and he really looked a lot better than some of these other guys. That people have in front of him, but they kind of didn't really put him in the right position to really learn the middle linebacker position. So I thought Casanova McKenzie is one of those guys that he'll probably be a UDFA, a drafted free agent. So he's one of those guys we can put, keep an eye out for.
Okay, definitely. And then last guy on the list, Eric Stryker.
Right, Eric Stryker, he comes from Oklahoma. Someone said he's like one of these guys who will jaw at the other team for all game long until they go to the locker room. Just, always in their face, talking. I don't know if you remember, you said you're an Alabama fan. The year that they didn't go to the playoffs the year before that. They played at Oklahoma, and mm-hmm. Oklahoma got they killed him.
Yes,
he was the defensive end that just kept bringing pressure after pressure after pressure, and I saw him, I was like, wow, that guy is phenomenal. But he's like 5'11", 220, and the size kind of scares me a little bit.
Yeah, even for linebacker, but definitely not an NFL defensive end. I don't think he could be a defensive end at that size. I mean, maybe somebody could point to someone and prove me wrong, but
I think he like moved around like eventually his senior and junior he moved to a more of a middle linebacker position, but he's definitely a blitzing linebacker.
Okay, so out of all these guys in this group, who would you see us drafting that you could see is the best value? Like you're like, oh yeah, that's a good pick, you know, there, because you feel like that guy's better than where he's going to probably be drafted. Who would you say?
Kentrell Brothers is the guy who I'm really, really going to bang the table for. Him or Scooby Wright, I'd be very comfortable taking him as our second pick. Both those guys are really good value. A lot of teams might skip out on them because of their size or because of they're not these crazy athletes, but they just seem to understand the game of football. They don't think, you know, they're not out there thinking about the game. They just react, and sometimes you think that they're in the headset of the offense because they know exactly what's going to be called, and they hit the gaps when necessary, you know?
And it's also sounding like listening to this list, for me anyway, I'm not, and anybody who's heard the last show, if you'd like to go back and download, it's the first show, it's episode one of the 2016 season. Anybody who's heard that show knows I am not a big proponent of the Dolphins going out and being big players in free agency. But one place I wouldn't mind it, because we need so many bodies at this and so many guys that can play football at this, is free agency. So let's say we don't hit in free agency, and I'm hoping for Danny Trevathan from Denver. If I was going to pick a free agent for us to go get, that'd be the guy. Well, let's say that doesn't happen, because we've struck out for 2 years in a row in free agency on linebacker. Quietly, we've gone out and tried to get Harris, who went to the Jets. We tried to get DeQuell Jackson a couple of years ago. He went to Indy. A lot of people kind of didn't really pay attention to that, but we tried to get those guys, and they ended up going other places. So let's say that happens again with Trevathan. Either he stays in Denver or goes someplace else. We don't grab him. Sounds to me like if we get past the second, or let's say we get past these guys, these six guys, Smith, Jack, Raglan, Lee, Brothers, Wright, and they're all gone and we haven't grabbed somebody, I'm kind of feeling like we're in trouble again at linebacker. Like we're probably going to draft some of these other guys in these lower positions, but it doesn't sound like there's anybody, you know, that's ready to just come in and learn the NFL game in an off season and possibly be a starter for us. What do you think out of these last, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys? Kind of sounded like, no, these are more project guys, developmental guys.
I mean, I think this is a completely different philosophy that we're going to have to do. Like, let's say the first round we get a defensive lineman or a defensive end. And then second round we get, I don't know, a guard or whatever. Or these guys just don't go. So we get another defensive player, a safety.
Cornerback or safety.
Sure. I think either we get one, Tyler Matakevich or a Deion Jones, and just go small, 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 and just have our defensive line really take care of everything in front, eat up blocks, and then have these guys just and or even, you know, Neville Hewitt. I know you were talking about him last game. Mm-hmm. Neville Hewitt, Jelani Jenkins, and a Deion Jones or a Tyler Matakevich, one of these really small guys who just, you know, or Deion Jones who flies around the field. Just have three guys that can eat up so much space and kind of take care of the middle. I mean, they're going to get blocked out sometimes, but that's why you have these big offensive line, defensive linemen take care of those blocks. That's one theory I was thinking of, because like you said, if we don't get one of these six guys, we might get screwed, but there is solutions. There's ways that good coaches
Yeah, I know. We're trying to put the coaching factor in. I get that, but
can game plan around this? And they, I mean, look at Carolina. I mean, yes, they have Kelechi, who's a, you know, every team would want him, and he fits every scheme because of his size, his speed, and his intelligence. But the other two, they don't have a real strong safety. They don't have a guy who's a monster besides Kelechi. They have two used to be safeties in. I mean, I'm sorry, strong side linebackers. They had two used to be safeties in college with Thompson and Davis. And these guys, they came in the league at 220 and 230 at the most, and they were undersized, you know, lightning bugs. I think if we have to, we can model that linebacking core. But you got to remember, they have that defensive line that's just incredibly big and causes pressure that way.
Well, I mean, you've got Cam Wake. At one point, you had Cam Wake, Earl Mitchell, Sue, and OV on our D-line, and that wasn't enough to cover up the poor linebacker play. So I got to be honest with you, not in love with that strategy. Kind of more in love with better go to free agents and the draft and get this linebacking core fixed, because that D-line, I'm sorry, I understand that, you know, maybe it's a coaching thing, and oh, by the way, yes, we have a new head coach and a new defensive coordinator, but we got the same defensive line coach we had last year. So I'm kind of more in the end of, you better go get some players and fix this linebacking core, because I don't think the D-line's going to cover it up anymore, because it sure as heck didn't last year.
Well, you got to also remember, though, OB is not a... He's not known for his run defense.
That's true. Yeah, that is true. He doesn't set the edge well, and Wake is starting to lose that. That's for sure.
And Wake is not known for his defense. And I mean, I was banging the drum for Jordan Phillips. Don't tell anybody I said that, but last year before the season, and that didn't happen. You know?
No, that guy was getting – I mean, he was good in pass pressure, but he gets blown away in off run blocking. He just gets blown back on run blocking. I mean, I don't know. He's a big dude. He needs to figure that one out. I mean, he can get the pressure off the pass, but, well,
I really hope he takes a step this year.
Yeah, I mean, we need him to.
I'm looking for the defensive line conversation, because there's a ton of talent. So, you know, we might have to – pick up one of those guys, because this might be the deepest class for defensive line.
I know. The problem is, though, unfortunately, with the Dolphins and where their holes are, that's the one place we really don't have the holes. I mean, you hate to pass up on good talent, but right now the biggest hole is linebacker and then cornerback, and we need a safety. I mean, you need multiple cornerbacks, multiple linebackers, not just one. So, I mean, I don't know. If we keep OV... I don't see us going at least in that first round with a defensive lineman. I just don't. We're going to go linebacker or cornerback. And again, we haven't come out of free agency yet, but I don't want to see us go crazy in free agency. Let's build it through the draft. We've got an opportunity right here, like I said at the beginning of the episode. We've got an opportunity right here in the next couple years to really focus heavy on defense while you've got the offense kind of – I mean, you're going to have to do some things every year with the offense, but you kind of really don't need to go crazy on the offense when you look at it. If you keep Lamar Miller, you got Parker for a few more years. You got Landry for a few more years. You got Pouncey for a few more years. You got the right tackle, Juwan James, for a few more years. I mean, you've got the ability. You got Tannehill. You got that kind of locked in over there a little bit. You want to add a piece here or there. You could go crazy on defense over the next 2 years and really just stack this defense with some really good young talent and just build like a sick Seattle-type defense. You've got a chance. It's the best part of that. The fact we need so much is, I mean, you can do it, and you've got Sue. I mean, and then you've got Sue as the anchor of that, and you could build all this talent around it. You'll still have Sue at the peak. I mean, it's an exciting time if they do it right.
Right.
But they gotta go do it right. Don't just try and fill holes because you think you're going to the playoffs this year. Do what Jimmy Johnson did. Strip it down and do it right over a couple years, and you could have 3, 4, 5 special guys and be a really special defense for a while.
Yes, and I agree with you. And that kind of goes to my argument of defensive line. If that's the best player available, you know, like, I'm not a fan of Hargrave at 8 for a cornerback. Like,
okay.
If if Jalen Ramsey, I mean, this is another conversation for another position show. Jalen Ramsey's not there, and I haven't done enough work on Mackenzie Alexander, but if they're not there and our linebackers are not there, you know, best player available might be a defensive lineman, and it might be a defensive tackle. And, you know, hopefully we get one of these guys that can play both and go in, you know, as a pass rushing defensive tackle. But I'm all about taking best player available. That's what Seattle does. That's what, you know, the Ravens, who are known for their drafting.
Ozzie Newsome.
Yep. Ozzie Newsome. I mean, let's kidnap him and bring him to Miami. Start cloning him. But, you know, that's what they've done for years. It's just, all right, he's the best player. Let's take that guy.
Yeah, I'm fine with, I'm going to say, you know, I'm fine with whatever strategy they go with on the defensive side, because I understand the defense has a lot of holes, number one. Number two, you want to get the most talented guys. I understand that. I'm just saying right now that if you get out of the second, third round, or if you get past these first six guys, you haven't drafted a linebacker and you didn't figure it in free agency. I'm just telling you, Miami, be ready for another tough year at that position. Period. End of story. There's no other way around it unless you get super lucky that Zach Vigil really comes up and plays stronger, that all of a sudden Misi has a little bit of a resurgence and you go with Vigil, Misi, and Jenkins. But even then, you got really nothing behind them, honestly. You got nothing behind those guys. So just be ready if we get out of free agency in the draft and don't have another solid linebacker, it's just going to be another year. But I'm down for a two-year rebuild of the defense. You know, I've said that multiple times, obviously. I'd just like to see us grab one linebacker we could feel comfortable with between free agency and the draft, but I would really prefer to do it through the draft and have a young guy. Again, Reggie Ragland's my guy. I just think he'll be very solid at that position, but you made some great cases for these other guys. All right, before we wrap this up, man, anything else you want to add? Why don't you give everybody your contact info on Twitter and whatnot and let them know. Oh, you wanted to talk also about an article you've got coming out soon on FinMedia.
Yeah, hopefully I finish it. Lewis, if you're here, if you're listening to this, hopefully we'll finish it today. Don't kill me. I write for Fin Maniacs, and my contact is Mr. MPK83. I'm finishing up an article on Gase, on is the hype real, basically. And it's been a really good experience. I'm gonna be honest with you, I wasn't a Gase guy. I was not I thought you shouldn't be a head coach just because you met Peyton Manning before. But
that's funny.
After watching the games, you know, I see something there, and I do. I see, you know, the Cutler thing is legit. He does look a lot better. He was given a lot more freedom at the line of scrimmage.
I've talked to some Chicago fans that would agree with that they were very impressed with what Gase did with Cutler. That they said that was a real thing. Whether he can do it with Tannehill or not, it's a different story. But that whole talk about what Gase did with Cutler, that is no joke. That was a real thing, that he really did truly improve that guy. So that's exciting. I mean, Dolphins fans should be excited about that. But you know, I'm always in the wait and see mode. Well, not always. Not last year. But this year, I'm in the wait and see mode. But I have to admit, I am excited to see what Tannehill is going to look like under Gase. No lie about that.
Yeah, I mean, he is very smart. You can tell he's a very, very smart offensive coordinator. You know, and that's basically what the article is about. It's about just exploring. I went into three games and I just explored. I jotted down every play he did, and I looked at what, you know, his tendencies were for each game. So it was a really, really, really interesting article. I thought I enjoyed doing it a lot. So I hope it translates through the words and through the pictures I put out there. So we shall see. Hopefully tomorrow I'll get it out.
All right. And again, what was that Twitter handle?
Mr. as in MR.MPK83.
Mr. MPK83 on Twitter. All right. And as for me, if you want to follow the show, best way to get in touch with me is at Unsquish the Fish. You can download the show through iTunes, Stitcher, and if you are listening to this show right now, you may or may not be hearing it through my new home of Blog Talk Radio. Now, it will pretty much sound the same, except you'll hear some ads at the beginning, at the end, from what I understand. And also planning on using the Blog Talk Radio platform to start doing some live call-in shows as a supplement to my normal show, not in trade of. So you pretty much won't get any difference in the show. But I am moving to the Blog Talk Radio platform very shortly as a way to just grow the show even more and get in more people's ears. So I appreciate everybody listening. Have a great day. Thanks a lot, everybody, and Finn's up.